Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, continuing in our series of regarding the man sent from God, John the Baptist. John the Baptist has been beheaded. We read then in verse 12, Matthew 14, verse 12, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. That's our text for this evening. And went and told Jesus. It was a night of unimaginable wickedness. Wickedness that was spawned in hell and manifested itself in the actions of a monarch and a mother. There is no limit to the depths that the actions of a depraved nature, totally depraved nature, will stoop to. Witness what took place at a birthday banquet. The birthday was that of a man whom it might be said of Judas Iscariot, it would have been better if he had never have been born. For the birthday of Herod was also the death day. The birthday was the death day of the holy, noble, self-sacrificing man of God, namely John the Baptist. Herod's hands were stained with the blood of this dear man, as was also his conscience. Conscience that will never die. A conscience that is troubling him even now as we sit here in this meeting place. And he is tormented in the flame. For it is there that the worm dieth not. And the worm being a man's conscience. And his partner in crime was the wicked mother whose name was Herodias. John's execution had taken place at this birthday party to appease this revengeful mother. We see there in verse 6, and when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother. We come across many wicked mothers in the Bible. This is just another one. Being instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. So there it was. The head of John the Baptist in a charger, presented to this mother, this woman, who had requested it. The voice that had once cried in the wilderness had now been silenced. The one who had been sent to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, had now run his race. He had finished his course, and he most certainly had kept the faith. And all who heard the Savior's testimony concerning John should remember the words, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Yet this evil man took the life of this dear soul. Now John has gone. One of those who were left behind. Apart from the Lord himself, John's closest friends were those of his own disciples. What would they do? What could they do? How would they cope now that their master had been so brutally murdered? There was no authority to which they could appeal. And yet grief must always find expression. If there be no human ear to hear the agonized soul, then that soul will sink where there is no standing. But for the disciples of John, there was an ear. There was an ear that was willing to listen. And John's disciples knew where to find that ear. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. So let us observe these disciples of John as they went and told Jesus. Let us learn from these disciples. And may we be found often going and telling Jesus of our griefs and our sorrows as they did. I want us first of all to consider the retrieving of the body of John. Following the beheading of John, we are told, and when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up the corpse and laid it in a tomb. Mark 6, verse 29 is the way Mark put it. It is true what people say. Bad news travels fast. And we read the words of Mark. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up the corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the news regarding John's death soon came to the ears of his disciples. And here we see, first of all, their loss. Their loss. When those disciples heard the news, how did they feel? Shock, no doubt. Sadness, for sure. Sorrow, most certainly. But however they felt, we're not told. Instead, the disciples went and told Jesus. For you see, the Holy Spirit, in recording these events, has seen fit not to reveal to us the feelings of these disciples. We're not told. Their feelings have been kept from us. Regarding their feelings, the scriptures are silent. Regarding their feelings, that has been kept secret. But we're told that they went and told Jesus. And so you see, however the disciples felt, we are not told. But the Lord was told. And what a blessed thought this is. That the things that we keep secret, the things that we cannot share with others, the things that we cannot go even to our closest friends and tell them, they're too personal, they're too private. Well, praise God. We can go and tell Jesus. We can tell him our hidden secrets and our personal sorrows, confident that he will take them to heart. Things that we may find difficult to share with others, we can share with Christ. And without any hesitation, we, like the disciples of John, may go and tell Jesus. And just as the disciples went and told Jesus and told him about their loss, we can do the same. Certainly when we lose a friend, and lose someone through death, and our heart is breaking, we can go and tell Jesus, knowing that he will understand. But we can tell him about other losses too. Have you lost your song? Well, go and tell Jesus. And after you've told him, you'll be singing again. Have you lost your sense of direction in life? Go and tell Jesus. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Isaiah 30:21. Have you lost your strength? Then go and tell Jesus and say, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. And he will give you the strength you need to go on. Have you lost your sight? We're not talking about your natural sight. We're talking about your spiritual sight. Have you lost your sight of the cross? Have you lost your sight of Christ? Have you taken your eyes off him and now are your eyes upon other things? Go and tell Jesus. And he will anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. There's not a loss that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot restore. Therefore, whatever your loss is, go and tell Jesus. The disciples of John had suffered a great loss. They went and told Jesus. They went and told Jesus. These disciples, not only did they have a great loss, but they had a great love for John. Can there be any doubt that these disciples of John loved him? Can we doubt that? When we read the words of our text, and his disciples came and took up the body and buried it. Does that action not speak to us of their love for John? They had gone and claimed the mutilated body of John and buried it. They had gone in, as it were, to the very camp of the enemy, Herod, who didn't think twice about beheading John. And they would certainly not think twice about beheading his followers too. And that love was expressed by the way they went, claimed the body of John and took it and buried it. Likewise, who could doubt the love of Joseph of Arimathea for his Savior when, we read, he went to Pilate, right into the very camp of the enemy. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, after which we're told he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own tomb. Joseph of Arimathea loved the Lord. Yes, I know he was a disciple secretly. But he still loved the Lord. He was the one who went to Pilate and begged. It's a very powerful word. He didn't want that body discarded and taken away and buried in an unmarked grave somewhere by the Roman soldiers. He went and begged the body of his Savior and took it, wrapped it in linen cloth, laid it in his own tomb. There was his love. Mark of his love for Christ. And that's how John's disciples behaved with John. And how John's disciples must have loved him, going and retrieving the headless body of their master, their mentor, and their friend, and giving it a decent burial, after which they went and told Jesus. They went and told Jesus all about the one they loved. Went and told Jesus all that had taken place regarding John. What else can we do regarding those whom we love? Those who are dead also. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins. What can we do? We can go and tell Jesus about them. Those whose head, as it were, has been severed by the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Their heads have been turned. They look to the world. They don't look to the cross. They look to the things of the world. They don't look to Christ. What are we to do? Go and tell Jesus. That's what we can do. Tell him that those whom we love are deaf to the claims of the gospel. Tell him they're blind to their need of salvation. Tell him that they are oblivious of the danger that they are in. What can we do with such whom we love? But go and tell Jesus. We love them because they are our own. They are our own kith and kin. They are our own flesh and blood. We love them and have said to them, O come with us, and come at once. That land is bright and fair. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there. But they won't listen. What can we do? There's one thing we can do. We can go and tell Jesus. And I'll tell you something else. He'll understand. He'll understand how we feel. Because in verse 5 we read, neither did his brethren believe on him. So our brethren who do not believe in Christ, and they weigh heavy upon our hearts, when we go and tell Jesus about them, he will understand, because neither did his brethren believe in him. So he knows what it's like to have brethren who don't believe in him. Not until they saw Christ on the cross did they believe. And that's what we need to pray when we go and tell Jesus, Lord, cause our brethren to see thee on the cross as a substitute for sin. We have their loss. We have their love. We notice also their labors. Upon their hearing about the murder of their beloved John the Baptist, we are told what they did. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. As they carried the body of John from Herod's palace, they carried that body, of course, in their hands. We can hardly imagine what it was like for those disciples to carry in their hands or in their arms the headless body of John. And they carried that body, and they laid it in a tomb. In doing so, they were able to lay down that burden that they had been carrying in their hands. But they had another burden that they couldn't lay down. They had already laid down the burden they had in their hands. But they had a burden in their hearts. They couldn't lay that down. There was a burden which they could not relieve themselves of. The burden which lay upon their hearts. That, no doubt, was an even heavier burden. For it was a burden of sadness, sorrow, and separation from their beloved leader and teacher. They would never walk with him again. They would never sit under his teaching. And he did teach them, of course. And there was only one place, one person to whom they might go to have their burden eased and their burden lifted. So they went and told Jesus. The great bearer of burdens. They went and told Jesus. After all, this same Jesus did say, "Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And those dear disciples, without a doubt, were heavy laden. Those disciples were heavy laden with that burden upon their hearts. So what did they do? They went and told Jesus. They did exactly. And they probably knew these words. They did exactly what David the psalmist said to do. Under such circumstances, he said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you." Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. That's what they did. They went and told Jesus. That's how they unburdened their hearts. They went and told Jesus. And whatever your burden, however heavy it may be, tell it to Jesus. Cast it upon him. He is able to bear it. No matter how heavy your burden is, Christ is able to bear it. He has got broad shoulders. And he's able to carry all the burdens of his elect when they go and tell Jesus, and he's ready to listen. So we notice then the retrieving of the body of John. One is now to look at the response after the burial of John. Once the disciples of John had taken care of this body, we see what they did next. They went and told Jesus. Notice their response was, first of all, it was immediate. It was immediate. Do we not see that from our text? And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. It's a continuation of what they did. They buried the body and went and told Jesus. There's nothing in between there. They didn't go anywhere else. They buried the body of John and went and told Jesus. It was immediate. Like Mary and Martha. When their brother Lazarus fell sick, what did they do? They went and told Jesus. As read in 11, verse 3, "Therefore his sister sent unto him, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." They went and told Jesus. They did not go around telling their neighbors. They went immediately and told Jesus. As did the disciples of John, for there was only one person on their minds. Only one person they wanted to tell, and that one person was Christ, the great bearer of burdens. because nobody else could bear their burdens. They went immediately to Christ. Didn't tell anybody else. Martin Luther, which we hear much of at this time, Martin Luther was not in favor of telling others about his personal problems. But he believed in Christ, telling Christ alone. This is what he wrote. Bear and forbear and silent be. Tell no man thy misery. Yield not in trouble to dismay. God can deliver any day. Bear and forbear and silent be. Tell no man thy misery. Yield not in trouble to dismay. Don't be dismayed in your trouble. God can deliver any day. That's why we need to do what John's disciples did. They went and told Jesus, for only Jesus can bring deliverance to the troubled and burdened heart. Think of it. Nobody else can do that. Nobody else can do that. Do not try to solve your problems alone. But go immediately and tell Jesus, and he will solve your problems. Do not attempt to carry your burden alone. But go immediately and tell Jesus, and he will lift that burden. Do not sit alone weeping in silence. But go immediately and tell Jesus, and he will dry your tears. Do not be in torment of soul over matters that you cannot change. But go immediately and tell Jesus, and he will give you peace. In their response after burying the body of John, they went and told Jesus. Their response was immediate. Notice further, their response was to an individual. They went and told Jesus. That is, Jesus alone. They went and spoke to an individual. The individual, of course, was Christ. They did not go and speak to any of the Lord's own disciples. Godly men they may have been. They didn't go to Peter or James or John or Andrew or any of the 12. Went to one man. They went immediately and told Jesus. They spoke to him alone, knowing that he would understand their grief, because the one they told was the one who was acquainted with grief. They went and told Christ alone, knowing he would feel their sorrow, because he is a man of sorrows. He sees the height, the length, the breadth, the depth of their grief. He is the only one who can fully sympathize and wholly understand their sorrow, because he is the only one who is touched with the feelings of their infirmities. The word touched means to suffer with another. Isn't that a wonderful word? He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched, in other words, he suffers along with us. That's how he is touched. That's the meaning of the word. It's an inspired word. He is touched, or he suffers along with us. And when John's disciples went through the valley of Baca, the word Baca means weeping. When John's disciples went through the valley of Baca, or the valley of weeping, Christ was in the valley with them. Praise the Lord. Let us get a hold of that. And when we find ourselves in the valley of tears and in the valley of weeping, you can be sure that Christ will not leave you in that valley alone. He'll be in the valley of Baca with you. He'll be in the valley of tears along with you. The word touched may be translated compassion. It's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The word touch means to have compassion. So when John's disciples went and told Jesus, the dear Savior was moved with compassion on them. His heart went out to them. He stood with them in their sorrow. He stood alongside them. Now we know why they went to no one else, but went and told Jesus. Because he is bone of their bone, flesh of their flesh, heart of their heart, sorrow of their sorrow. Sure, where else can we go? Whatever form our troubles take, sorrow, sadness, sickness, separation, where else can we go? We need to do as the disciples did and go and simply tell Jesus. Is there anyone can help us? One who understands our hearts? When the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us. Who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. And the answer comes back. Yes, there's one. Only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When afflictions press the soul, when the waves of trouble roll, and you need a friend to help you, he's the one. Let us then, in our sorrow, go and tell Jesus. But surely there's another reason why these disciples went and told Jesus. They went immediately. They went to an individual. And they went and told Jesus because they knew he was interested. Certainly knew the Lord would be interested in the death of John, his forerunner. He would be interested in the death of his forerunner, his messenger. And he would be interested in their own personal feelings. Going back again to Hebrews 4:15 about the high priest being touched with the feelings of our infirmities, we notice the words translated touched and feelings are the same Greek word, which indicates to us that the Lord is interested and is touched by our feelings. Another word is used in that verse, infirmities. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. The word infirmities, as you may gather, means weaknesses. So for the disciples of John, how weak they must have felt. For we know, if we've been there, how sorrow and grief tends to leave the mourner weak. Without much strength, wondering how will they be able to carry on. So when those men went and told Jesus in their garb of mourning, weak and grief-stricken, the Savior was interested. No one else would have understood how they felt. No one else would have felt the weakness they felt. So why go to anyone else in such times? Let us go in all our weakness and tell Jesus. That which comes across to me in those words, as well as what we have already mentioned, is just how simple the text speaks to us of how simple it is to go and tell Jesus. That's what the disciples did. They didn't need to be eloquent in prayer. They just went and told Jesus. So you may go in your weakness to Christ. He'll have compassion on you because he's interested in you. Yes, even in your weakness. In your weakness, even when you find it difficult even to pray because of your weakness, go and tell Jesus. Just go and tell him. Tell him. So we have seen the retrieving of the body of John. We have seen the response to the burial of John. And in the last part, we consider the report about the beloved John. Looking at those words, they went and told Jesus, we discover the word told is a word that means to report. Of course, that fits in well. After they went and retrieved the body of John and took it and buried it, they went and told Jesus. In other words, they went and reported. They brought a report to Christ of all that had taken place with regard to John, their beloved John, and one who would have been beloved in the eyes of Christ. Remember again? Not a man born of a woman, greater than John. So here we have the disciples, and they go and tell Jesus. They go and report to the Lord Jesus. Think of that report. It would have been a painful report. Going to the Lord and giving a full report about all that had taken place must have been very painful for those disciples. And no doubt when they went and told Jesus, they would have given a full report, leaving nothing out. So when we go and tell Jesus, doesn't he want to know all that's upon our hearts? Even when we've been afflicted, even when we suffer pain, let us simply go and tell Jesus. Just go and tell him. Go and tell him all that's on your heart. The disappointments that have pained you, the discouragements that have caused you so much grief, the defeats that have pierced you through and through, go and tell Jesus. However painful your heart may be, go and tell Jesus. And pray as David did. Give ear to my prayer, O God. My heart is sore pained within me. Psalm 55, verse 1 and verse 4. Give ear, O my, to my prayer, O God. My heart is sore pained within me. Sure, to whom else can we go? Nobody. And we're pained in heart for whatever reason. For whatever reason. Go and tell Jesus all about it. Is there anyone can help us when the load is hard to bear and we faint and fall beneath it in alarm? Who in tenderness will lift us, the heavy burden share? Yes, there's one. Only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus, he's the one. When afflictions press the soul and you need a friend to help you, he's the one. The blessed, blessed Jesus. It was a painful report. Finally, it was a private report. We're not privy to what was said. That was between the man and the master. They went and told Jesus. No one else needed to know. See, when you go and tell Jesus, no one else needs to know. I know it is good to confide in a dear and close friend. A burden shared is half a burden. But we can go and tell one who's able to lift the burden. And we can go and speak to the Lord in private. We pray for many things in our public prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. But you and I know there are things that we would never dream of praying about in those public prayer meetings. Too private, too personal. But we can do what John's disciples did. They went and told Jesus, and they spoke to him in private. Nobody else knew what went on and what was said. And isn't it good that we can do the same? We can enter into the closet, close the door, and tell Jesus in private all that pains our heart. Go and tell Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving God and gracious Father, we thank thee that we have such a one that we may go to. Lord, in the darkest night, there is there the bright and the morning star. In the deepest valley, there is there the lily of the valleys. And we thank thee, dear Lord, when the thorns of life pierce us through and through, we'll always see the rose of Sharon, for he is there also. O Lord, I pray that each one of us tonight will learn from what thou hast taught us, that, O Lord, in those times when the burden is heavy and the sorrow is deep and the valley is dark, may we learn to go and tell Jesus, our blessed, blessed friend and Savior, one who cares and understands. Lord, we praise thee for who thou art. We pray and ask all these things in our dear Savior's name. Amen. Amen.